Okay, we're giving the Mishnah on Nun Aleph Amud Aleph. Mishnah says, "Ein podim lo bavadim velo b'shtarot velo b'karkol." So even though in the previous Mishnah we said that for pidyon haben you could use kesef uvishove kesef, use money or in kind payment, there are certain payments that are excluded. And that is, you can't use slaves, an eved kanani, to pay for it. Can't use a shtar to pay for it. That could be a shtar that he holds against another party. You can't use that for payment. Velo b'karkot, and you can't use land to pay for it. And we'll see in a second why. Velo b'hekdeshot, this is a difficult part of the Mishnah, and the Gemara will reread this. And not with hekdeshot. Katav l'koein, shu chayav liten chamisha shleim. He writes to the koein, I'm chayav you the 5 sela for pidyon ben. Then, chayav liten lo, he has to pay it. Uvno eno padui. But his son is not padui, he's not redeemed based on this. Fikach, mirza koein liten lo b'batana, rashai. Koein wants to give it to him as a gift, that's fine. I'm a frish pidyon beno vavad, someone who separated out the money to pay for the pidyon ben, and then it got lost. He is responsible, chayav b'achriyoto, he's responsible for that money, Shenemar, as it says in Parshat Korach, says, Iyeh lach ach padotivde. So the Iyeh lach is referencing Aaron HaKohen. The monies of the pidyon ben will be to you, and then padotivde. Once it reaches you, then there's pidyon. But until it reaches you, Aaron HaKohen, there is no pidyon.
What's that
mean? That once you separate it out, like we had by other things like Bechor and other items where you've separated it out, that becomes invested with the Gedusha, and then if they get lost, that would be Padui. Exactly. That would be the Avamina. Here the Mishnah showed that option. Nitan delo karabi. Our Mishnah is not like Rabbi, the Tanya. Rabbi omer b'chol podim b'chor adam chutz min ashtarot. You can use anything for pidyon ben except for a shtar. My time with the Rabbi. Where did Rabbi learn this from? Dorish ribuye umiyute. He's Doresh in the form of ribui and miut, and that is based on the pasuk in Korach, which says, "Uptuyav miben chodesh tivde berakacha kesef chamishet shkalim b'shekel kodesh esrim geirahu." The esrim geirahu should be familiar from yesterday, but the uptuyav miben chodesh is a ribui, tivde is also a ribui, and then berakacha kesef is a miut. So you have a ribui, ribui, and then a miut. But the Gemara will read it as a ribui, miut, and ribui. That's what we're doing right now. It says, Ufduyav ben chodesh, riba. Berkech kesef miut. Tivde, riba. Riba u miut, riba. So you have a ribui, miut, ribui. So in this methodology of limud, it says riba kol, then you include everything. So Rabbi kol mile, you include anything. You can use anything as the monies or currency for paying for the pidyon ben, my miut. In riboy, miut, and riboy, everything's included, and the miut excludes one item. And that is miut shtarot. Because shtarot are not kesef. They have no inherent value. As opposed to everything else, which has inherent value to it, and therefore it can be equated to kesef, shtarot are the exception because they have no inherent value. On the other hand, the Rabbanon, who are the authors of the Mishnah, darshei klalei uprat. They used the methodology for limud of klal uprat uklal. And that is, uduyav ben chodesh klau, berkech kesef prat, tivdeh chazar v'klau, it's a klau uprat uklau, iatadan elkein prat. When you have a klau uprat uklau, you include everything that is similar in nature to the prat that's in the middle. It doesn't have to be exactly alike, but it has to be similar. Ma prat mifuresh, item that's mentioned is devar miteltel, it's a movable object, v'gufo mamon, it has inherent value. Avkol davar miteltel, also any item that is movable, miteltelin, v'gufo mamon, it has inherent value. Yetzu karkot, so we're going to exclude land, shein miteltelin, because you can't move it, it's a fixed property. Yetzu avadim, now eved kenani is miteltel, but eved kenani has a din shukshu karkot, that have a din just like karko, and therefore they will take on the properties of karko, even though they're a movable item, and therefore they're excluded. So shtarot, shafapishim and tautalin, shtarot are movable objects, ain gufan mamon, but they do not have inherent value, and therefore the shtarot can't be used. So according to the Rabbanan, you have 3 exclusions based on the klal pratu klal. According to Rabbi, there is only 1 exclusion, which is shtarot based on riboy, miut, and riboy. So amalei ravina lemreimar, virabi ribuya miut e dorish. Does Rabbi really subscribe to this methodology of limud, of ribut, miut, and ribui? Va Rabbi klali uprat e dorish. We know that Rabbi uses the other methodology of limud uklal uprat uklal. It says, b'martzeyo, when it comes to the piercing of the ear of an Eved Ivri who wants to stay until the Yovel, it says about the tool that must be used for piercing of the ear, d'tanya, martzeya, en li ela martzeya. The Torah specifies that you have to use a martzeya, some sort of chisel.
Or awl.
Minayin the rabot hasul, that you can use a prick or needle of sort, vehasira, a thorn. It's interesting here, it's written with an aleph back on Lamed Zayin, and with bet was written with a hay. Vamachat is a pin, vamachdeach is a drill or a borer, vamachtev is a metal stylus. Tamalomar, the kachta, the rabot, kol davar shenu kach biyad. Kach tells you any hand tool that can do the job, you can use. It doesn't just have to be a martzeya. Divrei Rabbi Yossi v'Rabbi Yehuda. That's the position of Rabbi Yossi v'Yehuda. Rabbi, on the other hand, says martzeya. Ma martzeya miyuchad shel matechet. Just like the martzeya is a tool that is made out of metal, afko shel matechet. It has to be a metallic object that you use in order to pierce the ear. V'aminan v'maika miflagei. What are they arguing about? Rabbi darish klalei oprate. Rabbi is doresh that is through klal oprat, and Rabbi Yossi v'Yehuda is doresh through ribui and miyut. Because the psukim over there say that v'lakachta hamartzeya, so lakachta is a ribui, or ribui, right, a ribui or a klal, then the martzeya is a miyut, and then you have be'ozno chazar v'klal. In his ear, that's another klal. So there you have a choice. If you learn it as a klal oprat klal, it has a ke'in martzeya. What's the feature of the martzeya? Rabbi says it's a metechet, so it has to be something similar to the martzeya. On the other hand, Rabbi Yossi Rabbi Yehuda says that it's riboy miyut to riboy, riboy akol, rabbi everything, and the martzeya just excludes one item, and that item is a sam. You can't use some sort of medicinal or chemical reaction in order to make the hole or pierce the hole in his ear.
Oops, it came to be, could be learned or...
Yes.
That is the...
It's its schools of thought. Generally, klal uprat to klal, or ribui miyut to ribui, they have all different sorts. I mean, there's klal uprat, and there's ribui miyut. There's prat uklal, miyut to ribui. It's two different schools of thought. Generally, they were divided between Eretz Yisrael and Bavel, but we see that there are tanaim that move back and forth. The Gemara wants is that you just be consistent in the methodology that you use. And here we see Rabbi is not being consistent. Here he's using ribui and miyut to ribui. Over there he's using klal uprat to klal. So where it says, in Ba'alma Rebbe Klal Uprati Dorish. In general, Rabbi subscribes to that school of thought that everything is a Klal Uprat. V'hocha Ketadana Debei Rabbi Yishmael. This is based here, he changed his mind, that means here by our case of Pijonah Ben, the Tana Rabbi Yishmael, B'mayim B'mayim Shtei Pe'amim. When it comes to talking about fish, kosher fish, it uses the term Mayim twice in a row. So then, Ein Zeh Klal Uprat El Ribo Yimiyot. And what Tana Debei Rabbi Yishmael basically say is that if you have two klalim and a prat, but they're not in the normal order, I mean, it's not klal, then the prat, then the klal, in those cases, Rabbi will darshan klal, prat, to klal. But there are unique cases, special cases, where you have a klal, klal, and the prat is outside of the two klalim. In that case, Tana Bei Rabbi Shmuel says, we no longer use klal, prat, to klal. That tells us, that's a siman to switch the methodology that you use to riboy, miyut, or riboy. So Rabbi subscribes to that idea, and therefore says that the case by Pijonah Ben, which I told you before, is uftuyavi ben chodesh, riboy, tifte, riboy, and then the be'erkach kesef is the miyut, which is after the two riboyim that you have in the pasuk. So too over here by the mayim, it says, fish, it says, etzeh tochlu mikol asher b'mayim, that's the riboy, asher lo snapir b'keset b'mayim riboy. Then afterwards it says, be'yamim manichalim, which is the miyut. So again, the miyut is found after the two riboyim. That only yamim manichalim have to have snapir b'keset, but things that grow in mayim mikunasim, things that grow with enclosed water bodies don't have to have snapir b'keset. And he says, no, don't learn it that way. This is not a klal uprat. Ella, this is a ribui umiyut. So it's over here. Because the order is mixed up over here, so too, just like over there, you had mayim as a ribui, then mayim as a ribui, and then the miyut of yamim and echalim, don't learn it as a klal uprat, but rather as a ribui, miyut to ribui. So too over here, you're going to learn it as a ribui, miyut to ribui, against his normal position or school of thought. The Rabbanon, on the other hand, Amrei Kedamrina Mibarova, like they say in Eretz Yisrael, Kol Makom Shatam Motzeh Shtei Klalot Asmuchim Zeh Lazeh, Tel Prat Benim, Midoran Bechla Uprat. Even though it's out of order, you move the prat into the position, and you down it as a klal prat uklal. That's the way they'll learn by pidyon ben, and therefore they'll end up with a klal uprat uklal over here, even though it's out of order. Right? Lo behekdeshot, I mentioned in the Mishnah, this is very difficult. Of course, you can't do pidyon ben with hekdesh. It's not yours. It has to be yours. It's pshito. Lav didu ninu. Ema velo hekdeshot bechol eile. It's not telling you what you can use for pidyon ben, but rather, hekdesh has the same din as pidyon ben. You're not allowed to redeem hekdesh with any one of these three items, which is you can't use karka, shtar, and avadim to redeem hekdesh, and that learned out from psukim in Parshat Erechin. We'll get to that when we get to the Gemara in Erechin, that it goes through that you can't redeem with these items. So the Mishnah says if he writes a shtar, an IOU, to pay for the pidyon bechor, it doesn't work. He owes the money for the shtar, and he still has to redeem his son. That truthfully, it works. When he fulfills the obligation to pay the shtar, the IOU, it will work to be podez ben. My time, ain't banoi padui. So then why does the Mishnah say it doesn't work? People might get the wrong impression. You handed in the shtar, and now people might think that you were poded with the shtar. The truth is, the only time the pidyon works is when you hand him the money afterwards. When you fulfill the shtar, that's when it works. But we don't want you doing this because it looks like you used the shtar in order to pay for the pidyon ben, and we know that that doesn't work. Tana tana kemed Rav Nachman. So they said over this memory by Rav Nachman, beno padui, the kishiyitain. This is a dat yachid, which you just quoted to me. Some say zu divrei Rabbi Elazar b'Rabbi Shimon stimta. That's a dat yachid, either of Rabbi Yosi b'Rabbi Yehuda or Rabbi Elazar b'Rabbi Shimon. V'chachamim omrim, ein b'no padui. His ben is not padui. V'hilchata, ein b'no padui. And the halacha is that it doesn't work at all. Man, even d'oraita, it doesn't work. That giving the shtar and then paying that as a fulfillment of the shtar does not work. We assume that the money that he's paying is to fulfill the obligation of the shtar, not to be podeh his son. Yeah, you have to separate between them because he made himself chayav. He obligated himself in a loan now, and that money he owes to the kohen, but independent of the pidyon ben. If he wants to fulfill pidyon ben, he has to do something independent of the shtar. So either the kohen has to wipe out the shtar, or he has to pay the shtar and then pay for the pidyon ben. The kohen can return the money if he wants. We have a Mishnah that supports that position. Someone who gives to 10 kohenim at once, yatsa. He takes the 5 shekel, there are 10 kohenim there, he places it down on the table, says, you guys work it out between you, that's my pidyon ben, that works. If he pays each one of them, he gives them a portion of it, that works also. If he took it, and then he gave it back to him, yatsa. So here's the memory that if he took it and came back, our Mishnah supports that view, that if the kohen took it and gave it back, it's fine. Tarfon was a kohen, this was his minag. He used to take the money and then return it to the father. That Rabbi Tarfon was mekayim this halacha. Halacha zu, betulah, oh man, this halacha, like, not, he didn't keep anything else. Ella, kayim ze af halacha zu. He even kept this halacha, returning the money. Rabbi Chanina, avarogiel, v'shakil, umahader. Rabbi Chanina had the same minhag as Rabbi Tarfon, which was that he gave the monies back. So this individual, after he paid for the pidyon ben, that he was hanging around Rabbi Chanina waiting for the money back. Amarlei, lo gamarta, v'yavit midam bish. According to the Girsa of Rashi and the Tosafot, it's midam bish avata. Hilkach ein bincha padui. Therefore, your son is not redeemed. Now, Rabbi Chanina basically says to him, you're hanging around here. So, you really didn't. Lo gamart v'yavta. You really didn't have gmir dat to give me the money because you're expecting it back. Therefore, and that's the question of what's there for. It's either midam bish or midam bish avato. The difference in the gears actually makes a difference in the outcome. Rashi brings down two interpretations of what it means that you did something bad and your son is not redeemed. One of them is, ein bincha padui im echziram. That he said to him, if I give you the money back now, then your son will not be redeemed, because it's clear then that you didn't intend to give them. On the other hand, the other way to read it is, Rashi says, that afilu lo echziram, even if I keep the money, he's not padui, because when you gave them, you didn't give them with the real kinyan. So Rashi gives two possibilities of what happens there. Either I can't return them, because otherwise it will not be a pidyon, or even if I don't return them, it's not going to work at all. And that might make a difference based on the girsa. If you see the girsa, it's the girsa is midam bish avadata. You did something bad. Tosfot gives two interpretations of what that means. He says either v'yesh tefresh midam lashon me'uma. You did absolutely nothing. And that's the one way you can read it, meaning that even though I have the money now, it's not a pijona ben. Even if I keep the money. That's one way to read it. The other way, the Yosef Eish is midam is bish avarata. Did davara ra avarata. You did something bad. If he did something bad, because he wanted them back. But if he leaves them here, then it would work. So I think that the two ways that Tosafot reads the girsa midam bish avarata, one of them would be like, first one that he says that he did nothing. It's like the second version in Rashi that it's as if you did nothing. And even if I keep the money. The second one where he says he did something bad, if I keep the money, at least it will work. And that's like the first version of Rashi. He does bring our girsa down in the end, v'yesh svarim. Delo katu behu avadata, ela mid'am bish. Betulo, klomar, davar ra, hu, klomar, din esek bish. Did something wrong. This isn't the right way to behave. Now Tosua does ask that in the Gemara Kiddushin, we have a principle that you can have what's called a matana manat hachzir. And a matana manat hachzir, the Gemara there in Kiddushin says, but no padui, it works. It's not a problem. Why isn't he just functioning with the matanam and the gzir? Why doesn't it work over here? So he says, V'yish lomar dehocho Rabbi Chanino lo haya rotze lizkot elu b'matana gmura. Chanino wanted it to be a full matana. He didn't accept it as a matanam and the gzir. The srinan hatam lasot v'nei shenir kohenam sem beit agranot. He has a reason for doing that. It's because otherwise it looks like a kohenam misayir the beit agranot. Because he's basically saying, I'll take the money and then I'll give you a refund. So the fact that he's paying it back makes it or draws people towards him, and therefore he didn't want it to look like that, and he wanted it to be a full matana, he would give it back, but he wants it to be a full-fledged matana. Tosafot then asks, well, doesn't it look bad here? If Rabbi Hanina and Rabbi Tarfon are the only ones who were giving the money back, guess where everybody wanted to go to do their pijon ben? With the Rabbi Hanina and Rabbi Tarfon. So they were drumming up business.
Who said
okay, so that's the possibility. Either others were nohag, or Tosafot says that they were not nohag this all the time. That Rabbi Tarfon and Rabbi Chanina were only knowing this with the aniyim. They would give it back. If they assessed the person to be an ashir, they would keep the money. They only gave it back when it was aniyim, so it wasn't a guarantee that you were getting your money back. So one of those two possibilities, in order to avoid the fact that they were drumming up the business for Pidyon HaBen, you have to say that either everybody did it, or it seems from the Gemara that they were unique in this, because the Gemara says, oh, he kept this halacha, sounds like not everybody else did it, but they were not consistent, meaning that they didn't always give it back, therefore people wouldn't necessarily rely on giving it to them because they would get it back.
It's interesting, so maybe today, some kind of it's important that you tell the father before, he knows that he's giving it,
Correct. It is proper that he should not expect it back, that the father should not expect the money back. Although most people are not educated enough, they don't think they're getting the money back, and they're surprised when the coin gives it back, to be honest with you. If a person really is giving it almanat to get it back, it could be problematic. A coin's not thinking on the same lines. Right? Amafrish pidyon bino vavad chaya b'achriyuto. Minolan, how do we know this? Amrib shimen lakish atya erech me'erachin. We learn out gzeir shava from erachin. Because it says by the pidyon ben, do you have ben chorosh tivder be'erkecha kesef? So it erech from erachin, and we know by erachin that you're chayav, because by erachin it says v'natana erkecha be'yom ahu. Therefore, the Gemara in Shkitat Chulin darshins Chulin hein biyadecha ashivol lidei gizbar to remain Chulin until they reach the treasurer's hand. So you see that there's achrayut. So it's just like by erachin there's achrayut. So too by pidyon ben we're going to say that there is. Achrayut, that you're responsible for the money until it reaches the coin. Going out from the word reikam to the other time in Shemot when it says v'lo yeru panai reikam, and over there from that we learn out that ma olat riyah chayav be'achriyoto, just like by olat riyah that you're responsible to replace it. By olat riyah it says that you have to come v'lo yeru v'anai reikam, that if meito nignava you're chayav be'achriyota, because it's like a neder, you have to bring it. You can't come up empty-handed. If you can't come up empty-handed, you got to bring up something, and if you don't bring it, even if it was lost or stolen, you're still responsible to replace it. Reikam says you're not allowed to show up empty-handed. It doesn't matter why, but you got to be there with something. If you come empty-handed, even though you separated it out, you got to replace it. So too by Pidyon HaBen. Rashi over here mentions that even though Lo Ra'uyu Reikam is found in the same pasuk as Bechor, we couldn't learn it from that pasuk, and we had to have the gzeir shuvah to the other pasuk with Lo Ra'u Fanai Reikam, is because I would have had a havamina from that Lo Ra'u is not panim mamash. That doesn't literally mean to come up to Hashem. Because over here, by Pidyon HaBen, you're not giving it to the Kohen in the Azara. So I'm not sure that it would necessarily apply directly to the Bechor and the Pasuk, and therefore I have to have this Gzeir Shova of Rekam Rekam in order to learn out from Olat Riyah in another location, where it's sure it has to go to the Azarat over here, and therefore we know that it's Panim Mamash, that literally means in the Azara. So too, by the payment of the Bechor, it has to literally get to the hands of the Kohen. So Matkiv La Rav Papa. Rav Papa says, I don't understand. Rish Lakish and Rabbi Yonatan are bringing down Psukim to do this. Krala Kra. Our Mishnah gives you the Pasuk. The Mishnah says why it is that you have Achrayut. It says because it says, Iyelach Achpadotivdeh. So the Mishnah tells you already, why are you going out of your way to find out the Psukim? You need a Pasuk to prove to a Pasuk. Alam Rav Papa. Adik Tani Taimo. The Mishnah tells you the reason. Iyelach Achpadotivdeh. V'chi itmar de Reish Lakish, a Reisha itmar. And Reish Lakish's statement was made on the Reisha, meaning the earlier Mishnah. Meit lachar shloshim yom, if the child passes away after the 30th day, afal pish lo natan yitein. Even if you haven't given it yet, you have to give it. Minolan, how do we know that? Amishim min lakish, ati erach me'erachin. Gzeir shov to erachin, just like erachin, after death you still have to give it. And we know by erachin that you're chayav, because over there, even if the person dies, or even if the assessee dies, still have to pay the erachin. So you see that there's a achrayut even when the person's not around anymore. So to over here, by Pidyon HaBen, Mavdima Rabbi Yonatan, B'chol B'chor B'nechativ Dev, Lo Yirahu Fenekram, Malahan Yoshin Chayavim, just like that, by Olat Riyad, Yoshim Chayavim, that you're responsible to replace it if the person passes away. His Yoshim have to bring his Olat Riyad, because it's a chayuv. Afkan, Yoshin are Chayavim. So to over here, the inheritors will be chayav, meaning there's responsibility for giving it even after the person passes away, meaning the child passes away over here. There's still an obligation to give the Pidyon HaBen. Okay, we'll stop over here.